All right, so we're going to be in 1 Corinthians. If you have your Bibles, please turn to chapter 3. We went through this a little bit earlier this morning at 9 a.m. Ooh, now you guys are going to be complaining about being cold, huh? Who here is cold? This is that time of year. All right. You guys want the AC off? The AC and the heat work really good in here. The guys are like, the guys and girls are very different. All right, so Mr. Jose, I'll let you gauge that. So if you guys have your Bibles, please stand with me. We're going to be again in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Going to hit it a little differently for this second service. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So we're the same book, but we're in chapter 3 for this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting from verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." Heavenly Father, we ask that you would please open up our understanding of your holy word. Just as you were growing the church at Corinth, you're also growing our church here, Lord. But it's you that gives the increase. It's you that causes this supernatural spiritual growth, Lord. And so we look to you. These are your problems, so to speak, God. So we ask for you to please point us to the solution and help us to focus on the things that we can learn from the good and the bad of what happened there at Corinth, of what you want to do through your church here today. Jesus, as you said, "I will build my church." So we believe you, just like we sang. We believe in you. We believe in your word. But we ask that you would please open up our understanding. Teach us your word of truth. Heavenly Father, thank you for your awesome love for us. Be the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Help us today, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. All right. You guys can have a seat if you would. So today, again, I'm going to target ending here roughly 12 or earlier. I'm going to try to keep it brief here. But as you and I embark upon a new venture of faith, we notice that our church is growing here. And just like Paul says here, look at this in verse 6 and 7. Paul says about himself to the church at Corinth, he says, "I planted." So in a similar way, I can look at it like this, and this is from my perspective. I want to share with you what's going on in my heart. God may have chosen to use me for a church planter here. No big deal. I'm a variable in the equation. I could be replaced. That's kind of how Paul looked at himself. So Paul planted Corinth. I was one that God simply chose to use here. It could have been anybody. If it wasn't me, it'd be someone else. And then along came someone named Apollos. Apollos was someone mighty in the scriptures or mighty in preaching, and others discipled him. He started sharing, and then you could say that he was watering that work. God used Paul. God used Apollos. But look at this in verse 6. I'm going to also share with you on the screen here. As you and I grow in this house, the house of God, the family of God, in the ways of God here with the Word of God and the Spirit of God, we're pointed to a picture of family. Family. So you got babies, and they need to have, look at this in verse 2. He says, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food." We all, and not all of us are parents, some of us are parents, right? You have your babies, and they go from milk to meat, or milk to solid food. We all do. It's just the progression of growth. So one of the first pictures we're given here is family. And then we're also pointing to a picture of a field. One can plant. Paul was used as a church planter. God chose to use me here. It wasn't my choice. Believe me, in my heart, being a Southern California bratty kid, I'm like, I'm not going out there in New York. I saw that movie, Warriors Come Out to Play. Who here remembers that movie? Kind of aging myself, right? That's what I thought about New York. And I grew up, you know, in hip-hop and rap and all that culture. I used to be a DJ a long time ago. And you hear, like, this is kind of like the birthplace of rap. I thought it was all about gangs. You see the movies and the pictures of, like, all the graffiti on the subways, which they have, they'll interesting, they won't call it graffiti, they'll call it tag art. I'm an artist, okay? So anybody remember that? Any of you guys grew up around, like, those days where it used to be really bad in the subways, right? Gangs taking them over. So that was my thought about coming to New York City. And I got here, I'm like, it's not so bad. Some, you know, scary places in California, not as bad as I thought it would be. So God just chose me to help in the church plant here. And others came along and watered it. There's a whole bunch of you guys that are serving here throughout the years. You guys can water. But guess who and what matters? God. Look at this again in verse 6. Paul can plant, Apollos can water. Same thing with you and I. But it's God that gives the increase. You and I can't cause supernatural spiritual growth. Think about this, and I even did a little research. Even with plants and seeds, you could have the proper soil, the sunshine, the nutrients in the soil, and you get a seed, and even the right temperature, everything correct, and you put that seed in the ground, are you guaranteed that that seed will germinate and grow and mature? You're not. Interesting science. And that's with our technology today, as good as we are with technology, there's no guarantee. It's interesting how God chose to use this picture. You are God's field, says in verse 9. We'll get to that in a bit. So we get this picture of a field. Someone is planting. They're planting a seed. Sometimes that soil is tough. You ever evangelize? You're like, I'm going to shove that seed in. No, don't do that. You got to have a lot of grace. It's like, I'm going to fight you even further. And so it's just someone planting. Wow. Pretty simple. Can you put a seed in the ground? Yeah. And the seed is what? The Word of God. Can you and I share God's Word with people? If God could use me for something like this, can he use anybody? Oh, yeah. It's just a matter of God doing the work. And this is Paul's point here. Look at this again, verse 6. God gives the increase. We're like on the display. And then going into verse 7. So then neither he who plants is anything. This is Paul the Apostle writing about Paul the Apostle. Oftentimes we want to kind of put him up in a high lofty position. He's kind of saying to the people at Corinth, which are very carnal, don't do that. The one that matters is God. Then neither he who plants is anything. Paul's talking about himself. Nor he who waters, that's Apollos, but God who gives the increase. So the one that we need to acknowledge and the one that's causing the growth, even as we're growing here, as we see it even right here and now, it's God, it's not me. So there's no guarantee as we teach God's word, as we preach through the scriptures, God willing, without man-made doctrine, just giving you God's word, no guarantee. And this is one of the proof points of that. Hey, you could be used of God to start up a ministry, to maybe even be involved in missions or church planting. And dare I say, what actually happens in America, we know the statistics, most church plants fail in America. So how did God do it here? I don't know. I remember when back when we were in the VFW, some of you guys remember the VFW, the big yellow building. VFW for Middle Village used to meet here. Not in this place, but it's a big yellow building off of Elliott Avenue. And there was this loving couple that came in there. They wanted to be missionaries. They wanted to be missionaries. I don't think it was God's choice, though, at least for them at that time. And they were trying to pick my brains, like, how do you do this here? And we were still so small. There was, like, what, sometimes five people show up or something like that. And they're one of those people, I jokingly said, I take this hand, and I go like this. Oh, God, help me. What do you want? How do you do this, God? So how do you do a church plant? Like, what's your 5-year goal? They want to see, I think, from like a managerial or like a corporate kind of view. I don't know. How did God cause the growth? I don't know. That's not a mystery for us to figure out, because if you can figure it out, guess what you know about it? It's not of God, right? It's got to be a supernatural work, not a natural one. So we can't figure it out. But that does intrigue some people. When I worked at American Bible Society in Manhattan, I was there for 10 years. And there's this guy, younger guy, and he worked in the bookstore. And he asked me one day, he came out of seminary, and he wanted to be a pastor in church plant. He's like, you're doing it. What's your 5-year plan? Same thing. I'm like, I don't know. I'm still just trying to figure out the next Bible study. I don't have a five-year plan. Like, God, what do you want me to do today? Trust him for today. Trust him for tomorrow. Amen? I don't know. God holds the future. So whatever we do here, let's not be like Corinth. Notice this in verse 3. Corinth, this is a very corrective book that we call 1 Corinthians. They were being carnal. Look at this in verse 3. He says, you're still carnal. This is not you, but this could be any of us. Let's learn from this. For where there are envy, strife, it says, and divisions among you. So the devil's into division, God's into multiplication. Okay? Let's not go there. So let's continue to focus on unity. And we have to have unity by and with and through God's Spirit. Amen? That's what he wants. Now, we're all going to differ a little bit on opinions, on doctrine even, like Bible teaching. We're all not in the same exact place because we're not robots, right? We're all learning at different paces. And each and every one of you and I, we all have a different biblical principle that God is right now working on your heart, right? Who here knows that God's working on your heart on something? Do you know that most likely that principle that you're working on is very different from your neighbor's? That's interesting, isn't it? So God can do it. God can orchestrate the orchestra. I don't know how he does it. How does he do it? I don't know. So you might have someone come to you who wanted to do a work of God and ask you, how do you do it? Well, just apply the Bible. Well, no. What's your five-year plan? And I get kind of caught up into that sometimes. I got to rebuke myself. Don't let that sidetrack you. You simply have a relationship with God and walk with him. See, that's something that even when I was at Calvary Chapel Bible College in California, we couldn't teach and train people. There's a lot of guys and gals that wanted to go out and do missions and be involved in various works. But how do you tell someone, look, you just got to learn how to hear from God and obey what he says? You can't teach someone that. You could disciple them to stay at his feet like Mary. Amen? But it's not like a booklet or a pamphlet you read, or even in the scriptures. You don't just read a book or text. You have to apply the text. Amen? And that means we got to learn how to hear from him. And none of us have got it made. I'm still figuring it out. I still make mistakes. So please have grace with me as I have grace with you. We need to have grace. So it's God. Only God is the one that causes the growth. Let's continue on. I'm trying to time myself here. Let's continue on. So verse 8, we're going to have a different picture here. We got a picture now of a building and of a temple. And this is going to show us what we need as we grow forward with God. Look at this in verse 8. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Let that speak to you, Christian. Shall I serve God? Yes. Do you know that if you serve God now while you're alive, you have an eternal reward? It's some of the best benefits. As we say, the benefits are out of this world. Right? You do. You get an eternal benefit. You get a reward. Verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. So now he transitions from this thought of a field of planting and watering and growth to now a picture of a building. He's going to get into a temple, and you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. We're God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. So God is doing a work. He's building something. It's not the building, like this building on Metropolitan Avenue. This is not the church, right? Where is the church? Point. Where is the church? You are. It's the body of Christ. Amen. Okay, so God didn't die for the place. Or Jesus didn't die for the place. He died for the people. It's the people, not the place. Notice this in verse 10. According to the grace of God, I'm going to put on the next and last slide here for us today. This is what you and I need. We need God's grace and wisdom. Look what Paul says here after saying, hey, look, let me take myself out of the way because me, Paulos, even for myself here, not in Corinth, but here in Queens, New York City, Middle Village as we call this area, I don't matter in the equation. Let me take myself out of the equation. It's God that matters. It's God that causes the growth. Amen? So what do we need to focus on now and not get carnal looking at a person but forgetting to look at the person of Jesus Christ? Focus, yes, on unity, but let's focus on God's grace and wisdom. That's what you and I need as God grows us here. as it shows here on the display, verse 10, according to the grace of God which was given to me. Oh, Lord, I need your grace. You and I need his grace. Amen. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. All right, let's pause here for a little bit. So I look at this, and I think this is what you and I need here as well. We need the grace of God, amen? How do you say that in Espanol? Gracia de Dios? La gracia de Dios. Oh, everything sounds so much better in Spanish. It does. It sounds so much better. It's called one of the Romance languages, right? La gracia de Dios. The grace of God. This is what we need. So Paul planted, and Paul and Apollos were doing the building, the work of serving the people, just like waiters in a restaurant, just like how we are. And it's not just me. We have a serving team. There's like over 20 of us that are serving now. They're serving you guys. They're making these things happen. It's not just me. I might be one of the mouthpieces here on Sunday morning, but God's the one that's doing the work. He's doing it through his grace. And this is what we need here. We need God's grace. So Paul did this not by his own strength. He says it was according to what? It's according to the grace of God. Don't you love that? Because I remember learning this going into church planting, even as we would prep people going out to do works for God. Uh-oh, someone's like going, okay. So we would say it like this. Everybody look at your thumb or your neighbor's thumb. You have something that's very unique, kind of your signature. We even know this in biometrics with computing and modern science. What's unique that no one else has? Your fingerprint. When you're doing a work for God, that's your signature, right? When you're doing a work for God, try not to have your fingerprints on things. Does that make sense? Even as I shared with the serving team earlier, we started up a new channel. I did, at least my family and I. A new YouTube channel. I'm like, I don't want my name on it. So we did it. It's about God's work. God's work stands forever. And same thing for the music that we do. We did one of the songs here, By God's Grace. We publish it through a name we call Wordstand. The grass withers. That's us as people. We're going to die. The flower fades. Beauty's here today, gone tomorrow. But the word of our God stands forever. Amen. And so I remember as a church planter, and even prepping people, praying for them, they want to go out and do missions. I came from a very extremely missions-oriented Calvary Chapel in Orange County, California. We pray for people, send them out, even people to go out, they want to do church planting, missions in the field, work with other missions organizations. And we would prep them and tell them things like, hey, don't touch the glory of God. Hey, be careful about putting your fingerprints on things. You know, I don't want to live and die and then someone exalt my name, you know, the Drew Sagawa Evangelistic Association or anything like that. Maybe pun intended. But you don't want your name on things but the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's God that causes the growth. So as you and I might do a work here, I'm nothing in it. The grace of God through not just me but through you is what's going to cause the growth. We need God's grace. We need God's grace for living. We need God's grace for all of your relationships. And the grace of God, we've been studying the spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts are known as or called the gifts of grace. You and I need that, don't we? And this is how we build here. It's with the Spirit of God using the Word of God through the child of God. That living water, like we just sang about, living water has to pour through us, God's anointing. And you and I need his grace. So as we build forward, God willing, let's keep in mind and keep me accountable that we can look to the grace of God and we need to have his wisdom. Paul says about himself as a wise master builder. I'm not going to put that to myself. I'm not a wise master builder. Paul the Apostle definitely was. He even gave us great scriptures, wrote roughly, numerically, about half of the New Testament books. But we still need God's wisdom, amen? You need his wisdom to make decisions. Don't just go out there and do stuff and say, I'm going to do this in Jesus' name, bless it. Because then what? You're going to have to take your mess back to God. I'm sorry, God. I messed up. Because God doesn't fail, does he? So when I look at this, and I'm like, okay, you're telling me you wanted a church plant. And I even met some people that were friends after moving out here that told me they're praying for this. That's crazy to think of. I didn't know that. They told me afterwards, after I moved out here, they were praying. There's a couple that lived in Ridgewood. They're praying that God would have a Calvary Chapel type church here. Why? Because they were locals. They knew the layout, that it's really hard to find a Bible teaching church out here in New York City. Really, really hard. And they're praying for this. And I met some friends in California that even were, I won't tell you now this time, but, and I shared throughout the years, others had prophesied about this happening. I'm like, that's great. That stirred my faith. But to see it birth from nothing, God takes something that the world calls nothing. This church was birthed out of a garage. Think about that. If I was back there, this is just like blocks away off of Elliott Avenue, but I was in this garage. It's a one-car garage converted into an apartment. And I were to invite you guys, hey, you want to come to my garage for Sunday service? I even had a friend at that time ask me, what are you doing? Are you trying to start a cult? Actually, literally, jokingly, but it's like, you don't do that. That just sounds weird. That's wacky. But that's how God started us. We actually started out of a garage. You hear a garage band, right? This was a garage church. It started out of my garage. I look back, I'm like, that's so wacky. But God gave the increase. How does he do it? I don't know. So we need his wisdom. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. Look what he says there, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. Paul says, let each one take heed how he builds on it. Now the foundation is not laid upon me. The foundation of this church is not laid upon Calvary Chapel or Chuck Smith or anybody. It's Jesus Christ, amen? Calvary Chapel basically was a return back to the Bible and Jesus, because the church at large, pretty much, at least here in the United States, had already fallen away. Predominantly fallen away from the Bible. They would stay in their statements of faith, the ways that their charters were when these denominations started. It's all about exalting the scriptures, but many of them have walked away from that. So it's not even built upon Jesus Christ. It's just, or not built upon Calvary Chapel. This church is built upon Jesus. And we're simply teaching through the Word of God. And what God wants to do, as I'm a sower, I'm going to sow God's Word. If he wants to grow people, if he wants to mature people, and if he wants to bring the sheep together, so be it. If he doesn't, well, then we know God's will. Makes it really simple, doesn't it? Think about that. I'm not preaching about money every Sunday. Giving's down. We got double, triple the finances. I've been to churches like that. I'm sure many of you have. Some of that's an abomination. But if we simply love people and give them what they need for spiritual growth, in other words, God's word, I can plant God's word. Others can come and water God's word in your life. But guess what? When God causes growth and God brings more sheep, and just like now, look around the room. Can I do this? No. But God can. God gives the increase. So let's be careful about how we build on the it. Okay, it's built upon Jesus Christ. And what you and I need is even stated here by Paul in verse 10. We need God's grace. I need God's grace. We need God's grace, and we need his wisdom. We need his wisdom to make decisions. So thank you guys for your grace for me, for coming on in, and for, you know, bearing with me, dealing with me. I'm not perfect, but I know who is. It's God. So continue to pray for us, if you would, as we grow forward. I don't want to just go forward. We must grow forward. Amen? As we grow forward with the Lord, should he grow us even numerically? That's up to him. This is God's problem. But don't you love how God will throw you into something? He's like, now let's see how they figure it out. Kind of like Adam. He throws him in the garden, and he lets Adam name the animals. That's like a picture of ministry. Am I going to take the situation that he brings to me, he brings the animals to Adam for Adam to name them, like a picture of ministry. Am I going to take the situation he brings to me and just ask him, Dad, what should I name this one? Oh, it's got a long trunk, an itty bitty tail. That's an elephant. Oh, that's a good one. Or am I just going to go, oh, I got this one. I can take it. You gave me a brain. I'm really smart. No, I'm not. I'm not smart. I need to go to God. So God will give us situations, just like Adam. He'll bring it to you, and you need his wisdom. It's a test. Amen? Remember those old radio days? This is a test. This is only a test. Yeah, that's like you're like me when I was younger. You fall asleep at the TV. That's kind of like when you wake up, right? This is a test. It's only a test. So you and I need God's grace. Let's continue on. Verse 11, it says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." The foundation is Jesus. Again, it's not Calvary Chapel. It's not Pastor Drew. Oh, by the way, I should let you guys know this because most of you guys are new to this. When I met my wife Susan on that side, our church used to gather on that side of the wall before we broke through the wall for this warehouse. Sweetheart, you remember one of our first conversations, she came in, I was looking at her, she's standing at the end of the service, there's like, I don't know, like 8 people there maybe. Susan came in, she started rebuking me right at the start. I'm thinking in my head, this one's not coming back, Lord. You just meet someone and they're starting to rebuke you and tell you what you did wrong. Like, they're not coming back. She's like, you know, you need your name on the website. So I want you to know, my name's on the website now because I had counsel and the others to kind of tell me, including my wife, it's like, we need to know who's responsible. And some actually told me, not being here, but it's good. Why? People need to know that they're not walking into a cult, or they want to know who's responsible, so to speak, right? So we have my name on the website. I'm like, okay, if my picture's going there, that's why we have our family picture there. Okay, but it's the foundation is not laid upon me. Just want you guys to know. That was something I struggled with at the beginning. It's Jesus Christ. Let's continue on. Verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day, capital D, day, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So take heed that you and I need to build through God's word and God's spirit here. Amen? The foundation is Jesus Christ, not me, not Calvary Chapel, not whatever we want to call. It's like, who cares what it's called? It's Jesus Christ. But when the people were rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem, God told the people through Zechariah the prophet, it's not by might nor by power, but by his spirit. How are you going to build a physical temple through your spirit? It's God's empowerment through our lives. So as God's building something here, it's the same thing, the same way. It's through God's empowerment, not ours. We got to be careful. But just know, these are some passages that show, and I just let me put it this way. For those that die without Jesus Christ as Savior for their sins, in the future, the end of the book of Revelation shows that there's going to be a judgment. What do we call that judgment? The Great White Throne Judgment. And that's a judgment over heaven and hell. Okay, so they're going to be judged according to their works, but by that time, they don't have Jesus as Savior. They're going to be sent to the lake of fire to burn forever and ever, for all eternity. That's the second death. For born-again Christians, you guys here, this church, if you believe Jesus is your Savior for your sins, you turn away from your sins, now he's giving you a new beginning, a new life, a new hope, a new way, you're a child of God now. And in this new family, as you serve God, if you serve God, guess what you get when you die? You get a reward. But if Jesus asks you to discover, you're doing something, you discover it, it's, okay, this is what Jesus wants me to do. Through his fiery gaze, there's going to be a time that we call the Bema Seat Judgment, Bema, some might pronounce it. That's a judgment not over heaven and hell, but what kind of reward you and I get. If it's something that God called for you to do, through the fiery gaze of Jesus, it'll be refined, just like gold or silver, it says, or precious stones. It doesn't burn up. But if it burns up, it'll be like wood, hay, and straw, wood, hay, and stubble. In other words, things of the flesh. Things are just carnal, earthly. A lot of us in Christianity, we can serve God or do things for God or give to God or go for God, but the foundation, the genesis, the beginning of it may have not been from God. It was just self, personal ambition. That's why seeing a lot of that in California, people want to make a name for themselves, I was disgusted with that. When I came out, I'm like, God, if you're going to do it, this has got to be your work, or else I don't want to have anything to do with this. I'd rather not do it. Why? Because of simple scriptures like this that show if I serve God publicly and I do what he's asking me to do, I get an eternal reward. But if I'm just doing something for personal ambition, guess what I get? Nada. It burns up through the fiery gaze of Jesus. Why? He didn't call it. It's going to burn up through his fiery gaze like wood, hay, and stubble. Okay, other passages can marry along with that. But each one's work, look at this in verse 13, will become clear, for that day, or the day, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So let's be careful as we build here with God, that things are done through God's word and God's spirit, not by fleshly efforts. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. Let's continue on. Verse 14 says, if anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the, here it is, you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So as we wind down the close here in just a bit, it's a good reminder here that as God's doing a work, you and I have God's Spirit. The Gospel of John declares to you and I, that all three, Father, Son, and Spirit, come to live, abide, reside, dwell within you. But the thing about the Holy of Holies, Annie was sharing on it the other day, which is good, the Holy of Holies contain the presence of God. So when people ask, where is the third temple? I did study on this. I love studying on things like the Red Heifer, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. The third temple, so to speak, if you could take it like this in a spiritual way, is somewhere. Where is that third temple? Where is it? Good. My son, good. The third temple is you, so to speak. It's a spiritual temple. The Holy Spirit lives within you and I. If you're a born-again, spirit-filled believer, you believe Jesus is your Savior that died on the cross for your sins, and you turn from your sins, and now he gives you a new beginning, a new way, a new hope, a new life. He comes to live within you, and you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God's doing a building, and he builds with hearts. He builds with lives, not fleshly things, earthly things. He builds with things that are eternal. He's building with you. So the temple of God is holy. What does he want you and I to be? Just like the Holy of Holies, a holy place. This is why once you're saved, as you go about your life, if you're still involved in unholiness, he'll convict your heart. Or if you hear unholy things, I still do. I got to be careful of what I watch. I'm like, I still got to change some of the things. Because you might shudder at it, right? You might see it and like, ah, that ever happened to you? I remember my old days talking with some friends and they say like the GD word. You know, not God bless it, but God, you know, like, oh, and they look right in your eyes. Some people will literally try to do that to get a rise out of you because they think you're a Christian. And what is that? It's because the Holy Spirit is within you, and your spirit that's now alive, like, oh, it shudders you within. So the temple of God is holy. As we close here, you're called to live a holy life for Jesus. God is doing a building here. Let's continue to grow forward with God. Let's stand, please. I'm going to close this with a word of prayer. So thank you. Today was a test of the template. Like I said, we're going to close about this time. And then we're going to partake of communion. Communion does not get you saved. Communion is for the saved. Amen? It doesn't get you saved. Same thing with baptism. It doesn't get you saved. It's for the saved. And I want to invite you guys to partake of communion. We don't have to record or live stream the communion part. I'm going to close this with a word of prayer, and then we can partake of communion. Father in heaven, thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for this template, so to speak, that we have a first service today and a second service. It's time right now. I want to partake of communion. But, Lord, one can plant, another can water. But, God, it's you that causes the growth. I acknowledge that. We acknowledge that, dear God. You're doing a glorious work. I don't know how you do it. You're the one that's still doing that work within us. Help us to surrender to the work of your Spirit as you knit hearts and lives together that we can build your way, not our way, God. Help us, Lord, to stick to the Scriptures and to obey your Spirit as you lovingly convict our hearts. You love us. You want us to grow so that you'd be glorified. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.